You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so if this red light is to be believed, that means we are live. Live here once again on a brilliant, amazing, not so warm anymore, Monday night. Here on the eve of the blood red harvest moon. Because it's, November the 7th. So right before the blood red full moon that's supposed to happen tonight. But anyways, joined here with your host. My name is Harry, the host of Low Key Wall, aka the moving target. I'm also joined here with my co-host, because I don't fly solo. We've got Vincent here on the line. Vincent, why don't you go say hello to the wonderful people? Introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Vincent. I'm here. I'm a hikikomori that exists in the internet.
He's our safe for work neat.
Whoa. I'll have you know I'm not a neat. Thank you very much. I am both in education and working.
Okay, sorry. Producer Paul, when he gets here.
I'll have you know I'm not a neat. Okay.
Okay, all right, it's fine.
Hikikomori, like, cool. Yes. Neat, no.
Oh man, so like, and that's another thing, like when you see like some of those, I always tell people, like, it's probably be easier just to buy a piece of property and you can move a bunch of weebs in by making it look like that, some of the Japanese style like apartments, just to set them up the exact same freaking way, and you'll just get weebs and hikikomori just moving into them.
I mean, yeah, for people who don't know, a hikikomori is basically a recluse, somebody who doesn't leave the house. And that's just the name of it in the Japanese community. They're very much shut-ins. And neat is no education, employment, or training. Which technically I'm in all three, so I'm definitely not a neat.
Yeah, it's fine.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Once again, showing up a little late, Reinhold. Hi, Reinhold. Yeah, it's fine. Do your coke, okay? On camera.
You're muted, Reinhold. Yeah,
and his mind doesn't work, so he can't even defend himself. Let's beat up on him some more.
So my vice has got control of me, man.
Oh, yeah, we know.
We get it.
We've been meaning to have a discussion with you, yeah.
But you coke habit.
I use this coke.
The reason we all called you here today.
Using plant-based alternatives to vaping all the time. Come on.
I get my stuff from Don Jr. So get the good stuff.
Oh my god! It's like, just need to make another song. Why I don't go partying with the sons of presidents ever again?
Can you imagine having having the story where you and Don Jr. and Hunter were all together partying? I mean, that would be a story, right?
A hella party. Fun weekend.
It'd be a month or two. Yeah. Probably a bender.
Or you get Sasha, Malia, Hunter.
Party. I'll have you know, Zeke, it's the modern era. You have a nail that you put on to use it. You don't need to keep it grown out all the time anymore.
Zikri part two rushes in. I don't see a coke nail on his pinky. I'm disappointed that he hasn't gone full coke yet. Well, he does coke zero, so he doesn't need the nail.
Yes, and it is still Monday, Christy.
Yeah, Christy Avery says it's still Monday. Yes, but it is the eve of the blood red moon. So make sure you go out and see at midnight tonight as the blood red harvest moon coming out before the dreaded election tomorrow.
Ooh, ooh. I mean, as long as it's Friends of Mineral Town, that's a good one. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's only just begun. Yeah. So yeah. This week, which will probably be, depending on how tomorrow goes, could be a very short week. Could be a very long week
for a lot of people.
This my Monday felt like a week long. So this is a good capper to it.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Well, long. We're glad to help.
Yeah. What we're here for, yeah, because like this weekend we're supposed to get the trying to get the last bits of the studio done. Dear Leader's coming over and we're hopefully getting everything hooked up and doing some small recording after in the afternoon. Hopefully we can get this the studio for the big show. Hopefully that'd be done and then I'll get it ready for so we can kick off in December for the big Weird Libertarian show coming back. And then we also got to get ready for, because then we got 2 weeks for our big show that's going to be showing up on. So Black Friday. So everyone gets done with their shopping and your turkey day. We've got our big show, our 4-hour show, 4-hour minimum. Okay. If we go longer than four, that is because Friday I don't work. So I get sleep in and, and Ryan Holm convinced me to do 6 to 8 hours. Okay.
I mean, we did 6 last time, so it wouldn't surprise me.
I was supposed to do 4. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Hey, we're going to gear up. Eventually, we're going to do a 24-hour stream. Okay, I can feel it. I don't know when, but I can feel it. Like, but,
no, yeah. Don't worry. I could feel at least like 6 hours of that by giving like a dissertation over something. He's like, right. Oh yeah. Yes, this is why Chainsaw Man is amazing.
See, like, I don't
chapter one.
Yeah. See, I don't know if I could do like a 24-hour just straight sit here and talk stream. Maybe if I like send it off to everybody, can sit back in my chair or something like that. Like, you know, I've been on 24-hour streams where I'm playing video games and I can get gamer face for a while. You know, and sit back and have gamer face.
Yeah. You know? Just zone out.
All you have to do is say, okay, this day we are going to react to the first season of West Wing. All right. So just do the whole thing, the whole day. Great. Straight through.
Z-Career mentions it. So, like, it's fitting since I like Black Friday only because it's peak people watching content. So, a stream would be perfect for a cherry on top to finish off the day. Yeah. Perfect people watching. Yeah. If you like people watching, Black Friday is a really good day for that. Hopefully, a lot of stores will stay closed and allow people to spend time with their family on Turkey Day and Black Friday so they can sit at home and watch the stream.
Oh, you mean the stores that open at, like, 8 o'clock on Thanksgiving for their Black Friday sales for some ungodly reason.
Well, yeah. Well, you always see bad for those people, but the people who get to make those extra hours up, who actually play, really want that extra hours for cash, you know, they're happy. They're having a ball, you know.
I mean, I'm probably working all of Thanksgiving, so yeah, sounds about right.
Are you? I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. It's fine.
It's a funny thing too.
Time and a half.
The people who have really good jobs and make a lot of money, they don't work the day after Thursday. It's always the people who, you know, need a job really bad that have to work that day. And it's, you know.
Yeah, right home. Like you and I, the working man, needing that Friday.
The poor downtrodden.
Yeah, the poor downtrodden. It's okay. All right.
Meanwhile, I was looking at my 401k today and
like, oh man, my portfolio is amazing.
I'm maxing it out. I'm maxing my 401k out this year.
Cool. Nice. I'm at the age where I can do catch ups.
Man.
Because you have a limit on how much you can
I know. How's that catch up? Is it worth it at that age? You have the extra income to do the catch up, or is just like fair to make you think you've got it?
If you have the income to do it, it's worth it. I think because of the tax-freeness of it. Health savings account is what I'm really into because that all carries over, right? If you don't use it, it carries over as opposed to the FSAs, which didn't. So that's like building wealth. And then after your retirement, you can actually get into that too. So if you need to.
Yeah. All right. Here on Econ, low key Econ talk.
Yeah, don't take economic advice from me.
Yeah,
not at all.
Yeah, or anything like none of this. Finance advice or legal advice.
It was supposed to be another show that was going to be done that didn't happen. Talking about the predictions for tomorrow. So I have all these predictions ready to fire off, and I don't
never happen. So whose show was going to do that? Whose show was going to do
that? Oh, I don't know. I'd heard about somebody who was thinking about doing one and didn't happen.
Yes, that is. I'm. This is not financial advice.
Yeah, this is.
You can't sue me, even though you definitely can be sued for your false advertising of financial advice.
I have no financial advice. You didn't give me, you know, money, so I'm not your lawyer. I'm not your, you know. Sorry. Right. This is all for entertainment value. Okay.
Do not trust me. I am an unreliable narrator.
I know, right? You know. So Black Friday, our big show, we're gonna be on. I need to remind myself, I need to send out that invite to make sure, because so, I'm going to get Miranda on. She understands it. I just want to make sure she's got a setup so she can stream. So I may have to dig into some of the equipment that we have at the studio, because I may need to let her borrow a couple of things. But you know, I don't have to worry about her borrowing stuff and things going off the side of a balcony. So yeah, all you guys who know about that thing, you guys are true fans. You guys are awesome. Anyways, let's get into the content at hand. So as you guys may know, we're going back into the media that changed us. So yes, we did 2 weeks in a row, and then. I want to talk about some other things, and I also want to talk some other things. It's just what I want about the show. I want to be able to talk about other things, and just like more of a focus on, but you know, like just also want to chug through and get done with the media that changes, because Vincent really wants to do the honorable mentions. Also, I like to say, reason why, if some of you guys are wondering, like, hey, you guys aren't on YouTube right now, Dear Leader and James Neese has got it in this band for a week off of YouTube for an old 9/11 history video. So I wonder why we're not there streaming. Sorry, Ace. Hope you could. I don't know how right, to tell Ace, you. I wish I could. If you're listening to this stream, if you ever not find us there, we're going to be here, which is even more reason why, like, I try to do that. Like, I always wish to get the own casting up. So you could just go to lokiwall.com and just boop, pop it up to our stream site. But, you know, like I said, that's the reason why that R&D stuff there is, because like you get banned, it's just like, well, like just fall back, you know, just fall back to this, mm-hmm. Go look on this thing, and just, you know, you type this thing in anyways, you know, and
it takes time and effort and work. And
yeah, well, the other thing I do want to do is, like, I want to do an episode with Ryan and Brian Warhammer, Brian. No, it's a Wanamaker. Yeah, Brian Warhammer. Anyways, he's on the Enemy of Enemy podcast with Hody Johns. And one thing I wanted to get with him with is I wanted to talk. You guys should do an episode on listening. Have you guys ever did YouTube with just RSS feeds? Just because... Interesting idea to get, so you don't have to really rely on the YouTube subscribe button. Just use your RSS thing in your browser. You can get all YouTube creators' videos that way. Anyways, but that's a cool episode. We'll get into that. What we're doing right now is the media that changed it. So the media that we're going to do tonight is, so it's my personal favorite. I'm going to bring up Roroni Kenshin, the Wandering Samurai. Vincent Cooper's bringing up some other anime stuff. Who knows? And Ryan Hull's bringing up old things. I don't know, something with dust on it.
Just to clarify, Reinhold is doing LA Story, and I'm doing O-Run High School Host Club.
yeah, something with dust on it, and anime crap. Okay, yeah. Not mine. It's classic. It's a classic.
Well, since you're so excited, why don't you start it off?
That could have been the title for every episode we've done so far. You know,
I mean, yeah, it really is, but.
Some stuff with dust on it and anime crap. We're good.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. That's fine. I have no issue about going first. So the anime I wanted to bring up is Roroni Kenshin. So this, the traveling samurai, or the wandering samurai. So like, if you can get past the opening scene, the Freckles song, right? Which a lot of people's buried at you, because when they hear about, like, this is an anime about samurais and around the Meiji area, and everyone's supposed to be expecting like cool samurai, cool fights. But you get open up to this light, fluffy cotton candy like poppy song. Yes, Ikari, I miss Haruo to Kitchen too. And it is this light, like everything is bright colors, everything is happy, and you get introduced to the characters into the season. You get to this person going around calling himself Batosai, the manslayer. Well, it depends on your English translation, the murderer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or your dub, I should say, your dub, your English translation, or your whoever did your localization for you.
Manslayer is less threatening, you see.
Does honestly, it also rolls off the tongue. You got to keep saying, "I'm the slayer of man, the manslayer." It sounds better than saying like the murderer.
The slaughter of all that breathes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you got to keep saying something, you know, that it does kind of localize the manslayer. It sounds like I'm a manslayer. It sounds like, yeah, Batosai the manslayer. You know, he got the name Batosai or from Bato Jutsu of basically how he draws the sword, the speed at which he draws the sword. I mean,
all notes song though.
What? And
the man eater.
What?
Sorry, is the man eater.
Okay. Man-eater.
Sorry, I was a little slow on the take on that one. You rolled right over the top of the spot I was going to jump in. Like, messed it all up.
Just reverse, run this over real quick. Joke's good and dead. The Aijutsu? Are you talking about like Aido or Aijutsu? Yeah, like there's the different drawing techniques. Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's the Bato Jutsu or the art of the quick draw slash, you know, which is actually very impressive. Like I can do one form of the quick draw slash. It's very difficult to do. It's from sitting down. It's the main reason, like, if you ever see me sit down on the ground, I sit this way so I can stand up, sit, and then draw a sword. It's very weeb way I sit, but it's very freaking comfortable. And the reason why I sit like that is super weeb, and only certain weebs understand see the way I sit.
The mall samurai.
It's not a mall samurai. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. So where was I? Yeah. So it gets this like really nice. Could you get into this person is walking around masquerading himself with calling himself the manslayer. He's causing different trouble for this local sword fighting school. And the person that is running the school, she is trying to hunt this guy down and find out who's because basically this famous murderer is walking or apparently walking around saying that I belong to the Kami Kanisha, the life-giving sword, so it's like the school, right? Or whatever its local translation is, right? So she wants to hunt this guy down to stop him, and she runs into the actual guy who calls himself the manslayer, but he's walking around with the sword in the Meiji area where you're not supposed to walk around with swords in, but he says like, hey, I can't hurt anyone with this sword because it's a reverse blade sword. Yes, the blade's on the other end, which I don't understand how that's supposed to make the sword not as it's still got an edge.
And it has an edge, but and when you're swinging stick. It, when you're it's swinging a, it, it's yeah, still it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt.
It is a it's metal not going to
cut skin, but it's going to hurt a lot.
It's a metal stick with a handle, okay?
It's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt. But if you came here for realism, I'm sorry. No. Just stop now. Just stop. Go watch something else. Because this isn't what, you know, this isn't, Rurouni Kenshin is not their cup of tea. So it's like you introduce like her to like her team of Kenshin, like Kenshin, Kenshin Himura, the manslayer. And at the themes I've got from this thing, like, so, and it's basically like a huge tale of the samurai going through, and it's not really like monster of the week. It's more of a tailing of of this wanderer dealing with the demons of his past. And the whole art style, the way everything is presented, is ways of people dealing with it. So one, it's being a hardcore fighter and having to deal with fighters from this day and age. It was like he was learning how to fight with a sword, basically to survive war. And versus these other people who just, it's a hobby. It's something fun that they're doing. And he's just, it can easily beat these people up. And he slowly, you know, slowly beats them up. And then you get more, he was getting more renowned, like, because people were getting ticked off. Like, who is this guy? Why is he keeps fighting so well? And so people keep coming back from his past to come back and attack him and bring these demons, things that he didn't break his heart from his youth, to come back. And the cool thing, what I really liked about Rurouni Kenshin, is the art style, the art play on it. Because a lot of that, what I kept talking about, that first part of that series, it's very poppy. Everything is, there's tons of bright colors. Everything is nice and it's amazing looking. But when the past comes back to haunt him, the art style changes. The colors are different, more drawn. It's darker, it's gritty. It starts to subtly change the tone, the music. Everyone's faces are drawn differently when this stuff starts happening. And it's as he shows himself being pulled back into these this terrible basically this terrible past from his war times. And as the people from the present want to keep him away from that, keep him who he is now, this nice, happy person, and not having to go back to the, you know, this is his man's, like, here's murderous ways. And this whole theme goes through the entire series. As the, you know, granted, like, you know, like, there's an overarching plot, overarching stories of different monsters, of basically bad guys coming in and basically wanting to push Japan back onto, like, this hell on earth, like, warscape that it was, these warring clans again. And, like, this is that entire, and him having to face these people off, go back and learn different techniques. Now, what I really liked about Rurouni Kenshin is a lot of the philosophy that's in it. So the ultimate technique that Kenshin learns, right? So spoiler alert, when he finally go learn from his master that he messed up, he doesn't get when he in his youth, he was trying to learn this ultimate technique and he keeps failing at it and he can't figure out why he fails at it. And he goes and he gets right, and his master told him, if you can't lay a single blow on me, I'm just going to kill you. Because I cannot get, because he's basically wondering, like, I feel like you can just flip back and become this murderer again, and I'm going to get too old, and I can't leave you here halfway trained. You either are going to become a master, or you're not walking out of here. So hearing that, Kenshin comes at him and just attacks him with everything he's got. Basically, it's like, he says, I'm just going to throw myself in front of the blade. I know I'm going to get cut. I'm probably going to die, but I'm going to at least land a blow in this guy. And he's slowly realizing that's the wrong way to do it. It's the wrong way to practice swordsmanship, the wrong way to go at it. It is more of the idea of trying to protect your life and the life of others first and foremost. That's what you want to do. And, you know, and don't throw your life away. You have something to live for. You know, like, swing your sword in that way because you want to go home. You know, and then he ends up using that to master the technique. It's those little sayings in this show that really pulls me and really got me liking this show. I think in the prequel, Samurai X, which has completely different art style than Rurouni Kenshin, it is the same series, but it's trying to show, like, this is the grittier nature, grittier point of the show. There's a scene where you see Kenshin and these people. Kenshin, his backstory was, like, he was basically sold to these traders, but not traders, like, traders to, like, anything like this, more of like he was basically sold. His family couldn't support him, so they just sold him off to someone else. And these bandits came out, and this basically the pseudo family that he was with, they came through and slaughtered all of them. And his master, Hijiko, you know, he killed him because he came across this awful scene, killed the bandits, and kind of left the kid there, the Kenshin there, just left him, right? Like, I'm done. I did my deed. I'm out. But he, you know, he comes walking back wondering what the kid is doing, and he realized the kid stopped and buried and made graves for all of these people. And it's that theme of saying, like, why did you do this? It's like, I may have known this and these bandits and all these people for a second, but they were still human first and foremost. And that's one thing that's always gotten me in my saying. It's like, it's the idea that people may be bad people, they're bad, but at the end of the day, they're still human. And understanding that reflection usually gets me to, like, my senses of course, of realization, like, there may be bad people, but they're still human. Yeah, so this, like, there's all kinds of this stuff is just sprinkled throughout the series, which I do recommend giving it a good watch. There's also some okay live action on Netflix. It's okay. I reckon if that's your more your style, pick it up, watch it. Now, is there some a small bit of controversy with the series? Just a little. It's just a little. Allegedly, which I don't think he didn't get convicted on it, right? Yeah, let's just say
the separating the art from the artist is massively important for this series.
Correct.
The artist is a terrible person, and we don't talk about the artist anymore.
Yeah,
for good reason.
Yeah. And if anyone says, like, oh, you can't do that, don't let them say that while they're hanging around with any H.P. Lovecraft stuff. Because just ask Siri, what's H.P.'s Lovecraft cat's name? Go ahead, ask Siri. I'll wait. which I simply cannot do. That's why I miss her so much, because I cannot enjoy it because of the much the same way. See, I understand that.
Yeah.
But I think, yes. To me, I can separate the art from the artist. I can separate what is going on, because, like, this is, like, a beautiful work, this beautiful tale, and I cannot, but I could, like, I can completely walk away and separate from the whole thing. And people saying, like, you can't do that. It's like, I've been shoved H.P. Lovecraft stuff down my throat for decades, and people are still having it, and they're still doing it. I'm like, come on.
Shakespeare was not the best person in the world either. I mean, there's a lot of things that are out there.
No.
Yeah, there's a lot of things out there. I mean, let's say I grew up loving listening to Bill Cosby, but, you know, I wouldn't go to a new Cosby show if he brought one out. But his stuff was funny. I mean, you can't deny that part of it, you know, just because whoever made that art is, you know, arguably a terrible person.
Right. Seven is still a great movie.
Most of the stuff that are classics that you read or watch are written by really broken people.
Mm-hmm.
And they tend to have this problem. So you're never going to have any kind of art. I mean, it was the old joke is if you don't like, you won't watch anything about anybody who's doing drugs or smoking, you know, you turn all your rock albums and just throw them all away, because they were all done that way. So
yeah,
it's just the nature of it. You have to learn not to celebrate the person, but celebrate the art that was created in some way.
Which is fair. Everybody has that kind of thing, which I get it. But some people can't do it, and some people can. And,
yeah,
you know, which is fine. To each their own.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm glad that the series has got something out of you, Harry. One of the things that that definitely becomes more and more of a theme for the things that you watch is humanizing what people see as inhuman.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that a lot of the times of when you see somebody who's a bad person and they're still humanized in some way, shape, or form. That happens a lot with almost for a lot of the series you've put in your list so far.
Hmm.
Yeah. Especially when, like, talking about in particular, when you were talking about Gundam Wing and his big, you know, I want to be a loser. It's like, I don't want this inhuman act to be done because it takes the humanity out of it.
Hmm. Yeah. Like I said, this thing just helped shape a lot of my core belief is like that, people, and it makes me you know, yeah, yeah. It's half the reason why I am the way I am, or I'm thinking of people of like the human beyond the thing. You know, it's the reason why like it helped me break out of the psychosis of 9/11, you know, we're part of this tonight, the psychosis of 9/11 of othering these people. You know, I've never met, and it was, and just like everyone else around that time, around that my age group or older, we all, majority of us, fell into the jingoist nature, and of just othering a whole slathering of people. And I think, you know, this stuff, you know, like, you know, woke me up away from that. You know, made me woke in that way.
Oh my god!
I can't use that term. Stop it.
I'm gonna need you.
It's appropriate usage. I mean, that's. I'm gonna use it. Do you want? You want me to go into the whole history on that word?
Well, I
can do so. I've done it. I've done the research.
First off, woke was a black thing that white people stole from black people. All right.
So it was, right. Was cancel culture too. Canceling someone was a black thing.
I know.
I got a whole history. Right, I'm getting ready to do.
More white people taking things from black people again.
White people.
I know. It's awful. Like, you know, never should have let them out of their case. Anyways,
Ronald, do you have any thoughts on it?
I mean, it sounds like a pretty interesting story, but I'm still trying to figure out the backwards blade thing, but.
Oh yeah, you gotta. Because
the idea. Let it go. I know. You gotta let it go.
Well, because the idea.
Because let me tell you, what I'm gonna be talking about, you gotta let it go. We're gonna have to let go. I get that.
Because I'm sure Reinhold's going like, even this butter knife doesn't really have a blade, but if I hit something, it's gonna kill somebody.
No, like, but if it's the other side, you could still. You can backslash people. You can still use that blade. It's preventing you from hurting.
The art style is, it's to show restraint. He's not going to use it, but also his fighting style of the quick draw involves you hitting the front side of the blade.
Mm-hmm.
And since he's not actually slicing people with it,
mm-hmm.
it's much more of a
hit him with a stick.
It's more of a baton instead of a gun.
Correct. And during the series, he does flip his grip so he can use the bladed edge,
mm-hmm.
which then it's like this goofy, like,
it's aimed a different direction.
Aimed a different direction, edge, you know, and you know, it's, you know, and I think like one of the most, you know, baddest ass scenes also, and the thing is when he tries to save someone, like which he sees, is basically a kid of the new generation, the generation that he helped bring apart, right? Like, and save, because in this time of peace, someone's getting ready to kill this kid, and someone just, well, his sword is broken, doesn't have his old reverse blade sword, and someone tosses him a sword, like, here, stop this man. And he just felt like, I can't, if I draw this sword, I'm gonna kill this dude. And he like paused because he's just holding the hilt, and the guy realizes like he's not going to draw a sword, and he goes trying to attack, kill this kid, and eventually he says, "Screw it! I'm pulling the damn sword. I've got to save this kid. I'm gonna, you know, like to save this kid. I'm willing to, you know, go against my oath of not killing." But it does turn out, after he does pull the sword out, that it's another reverse blade sword. The principal reverse blade sword, the original reverse blade sword. So,
yeah, fair enough.
Rand Hills is like, I just, you know, like, and like, if you, you can get on, what is it, like, what's one of these forging sword shows for something that popped up out of nowhere? Like, it's like, I forget what they're called now, like, it's like five right now, and they actually made a reverse blade sword, you know, tested out its usefulness, you know. Yeah, so
it's fair.
Yeah. I'm impressed. I will say, if everyone wanted to know, like, who is like one of my favorite characters out of the show, the two characters I really admire the most out of it is Aoshi Shinomori, former leader of the Obi Wabun group, the ninja group, because he uses twin kodachis, two short swords. And the other one is Hajime Saito, leader of the police. The police captain with his sword, but anyway, so yeah. I recommend it, give it a watch. Not for you, Reinhold. You probably, it's not your thing, you know, I still think if you're gonna watch,
I think you would like the artistry of it, because when it changes and watching as it slowly like desaturates and how it slowly shifts to where it needs to be.
Yeah,
he might appreciate the art style of it, but and part of the narrative, but you know, some of the logic probably not.
Yeah, you would like it. Yeah, like at 20th speed, it just going fast. Now, like some of the newer one doesn't do it as well. Like the live action TV show, like the movie, really didn't do a good. I will say, Bone did a good job of pulling that art style from the manga or the anime. It didn't really do good in live action. And what I think there's a lot of times that they could have did better on the lighting aspect of that. And I know they tried. You can watch it. You can be like, they were trying, but you could tell that they were up against a budget clock. And couldn't, like, you know, like, we're losing the light, I need this light, screw you, get this done. So F you Netflix for that one.
Well, there's a lot of people who are yelling at Netflix for a lot of different things.
Yeah, that's right.
Very good kind for one is
yeah I will say, like, I did like the way they did Hajime Saito in the live action. You know, made him look like and act like he's just a badass, like he's supposed to be. You know, I think the only other movie that made him look like a bigger badass was When the Last Sword is Drawn. If you like samurai movies, this is a live action old school samurai movie. So if you like folk style, When the Last Sword is Drawn, I will say that it will make you cry out of nowhere. It will come for your heartstrings and you don't know it's coming.
and now that you know it's there, it's a Chekhov's gun. Now your brain is always prepared. It's like, is this the
whole movie you're watching? When's it coming? When's it coming?
Is this the scene?
Is this the scene? And you're gonna think it's the scene, and it ain't. It ain't. This ain't this. It's not this. Yeah. And then when it happens, you're just like, no.
Feelings in a why, but not where you think, right?
I know. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I did get a good shot of like Hajime Saito walking around, older Japan as an old grandpa walking around with no sword, just being like retired. You know, it's kind of neat. Fair. Yeah. So, yeah. Which Hajime Saito is a famous samurai of the era. So that's, yeah, he's, not really a samurai. He wasn't samurai. Hajime Saito wasn't a samurai class. He had a sword, but he was never samurai. He was part of the Wolves of Nebu, a class of people who fought, but they weren't samurais. Right, I was like, gets weeb, too weeby in here, Reinhold. All right, so who wants to go next?
It'll be Reinhold, because Reinhold likes to be the sandwich.
The meat between the two pieces of white bread. Yeah. Okay,
it is,
and I'll do
a whole wheat and a rye piece of bread.
I need to get a button like
raisin bread. No, I don't steal from black culture. I can't do that.
I don't have the rhythm for it. I'm sorry.
He tries. I tried so hard.
I will do you a favor, Vincent Cooper. I will be very short and brief in this one, because there's not a lot I can really say about just this movie other than just kind of giving it some praise. But the basic conceit behind the movie is, so first of all, it's Steve Martin writing his, I think, first movie, directing his
first. What was the movie again?
LA Story. And it takes place in LA, and it's a conceit about the vagaries of LA, how LA is just a very unique place to live. Some of the scenes that are shot in there are just making fun of life in LA in such surreal and in strange ways. And he also does a great job in this movie of interweaving a lot of Shakespearean thoughts and words into the way the movie flows. But there is a lot of surreal aspect of it. The plot line is that Steve Martin's character is, you know, kind of just bouncing around trying to figure his life out. He's getting older. And he meets a couple different women, and this one, you know, He's driving down the road in the freeway. You know, the freeway in LA, they have these big signs out on the freeway where it can tell you what's coming up ahead or things like that. One of these signs starts talking to him. Right. Now, I know we're talking about suspension of disbelief, right?
He's like, Mr.
So I was saying, it was coming. It was. This is coming. So it's kind of the main plot line of the story where he basically his car breaks down and he doesn't know why. It's like it's acting really weird. He breaks down inside the interstate, and then the sign starts talking to him and asking questions. And it's a funny way of that it goes on. He's like, don't make me use letters. Too many letters is hard to do, you know? So he's trying to use little, shortcuts. But he's basically there to the sign is there to try to help him along in his life, to give him, you know, to get him with the proper woman. Basically it turns out to be, a romance movie comedy. And there's one scene in it. I'll do it. Was just done here. There's one scene in it that I think is probably one of the second most romantic scenes I've ever seen in a movie. Yeah. But it's not what the movie's about. The movie is not real romantic. It's just things happening. So it turns out that the woman he's going to end up being with is also kind of messed up and has her idiosyncrasies and self-doubts and things like that. And they're a perfect match for each other. But he ends up going on this side train of this younger girl who is Sarah Jessica Parker, who is like 20 years his younger or whatever. That's a whole thing. It's the story is kind of funny. There's a lot of funny bits in it. There's a lot of setup in there. And if you really understand how LA works, some of the, like a good example, he goes to see his neighbor a lot. Right. He lives on the street and two doors down is this woman that he spends a lot of time with. So he goes, okay, I'm going to go down and see her. So he goes out, gets in his car, drives down two spaces, gets out of his car and goes into the house. He's like, nobody walks in. And somebody said, why can't he's with this woman on a date. He's like, why don't we just walk? And he starts laughing like nobody walks in LA. What are you crazy? So, There's a brunch scene where everybody gets together for brunch, and it is the most hilarious mess of misfits that make up the elite in LA, and it's fun. It's hilarious to watch. Listen to the stories. There's these little comments and stories going around the table, and every time someone says something, it's just the most stupidest thing, and it's hilarious. So I appreciated the movie for the fact that there's a lot of really weird comedy in it. That's really kind of how I always like Steve Martin in to begin with. And on top of that, the story turns out to be pretty well. There's a lot of great cameos. There's one cameo that got cut that's in a behind the scenes thing that I'd seen when the movie came out. Because they keep talking about this guy named Harry Zeal, who's like an agent, booker agent kind of thing. And he ends up getting played. I can't remember his name. I really like the guy he was one of the bad guys in Buckaroo Banzai, but and a bunch of other things I'm sure you've seen. He was in there playing this character where he actually, jets in. Like he has I can't think of the name of it now. You strap a rocket to your back and you fly around. I can't
Rocketeer.
It's like it's Rocketeer, but there's a jetpack. Jetpack is the word. I couldn't think of it.
Jetpack. Okay.
Yeah. He comes in for his meeting, his lunch meeting on a jetpack. It sits down and they have their meal and stuff. So that ended up getting cut. So that's not spoiling the movie by talking about it, but it does give a good description of the kind of stuff that's going on in this movie.
Where's her jetpack?
We were promised jetpacks in LA Story 20 years ago. So, and it's interesting to note that the woman that he has the romance with in the movie ends up being his wife in real life for a period of time and not anymore.
is this LA? So
it happens in LA. It happens in LA all the time too. So it's almost like meta.
Yeah. I do realize, like, I thought I've seen this movie, and the more you talk about it, like, I have never seen this movie.
So why is it on your list, Reinhold?
Why it's on my list is, I think it's one of the first times I watched a movie that hit my comedy bone, like to the core. I mean, I grew up watching Monty Python and stuff like that, but for some reason, the comedy in this movie intertwined with the Shakespeare, intertwined with some of the more cerebral comedy that's in there, really does it for me. It's really hard. And that romantic scene I'm talking about is, to me, very powerful. Now, I'm probably saying that because I'm invested in the movie more than a lot of people might be by watching it, because the comedy has already got me in. But there's just a line, "That's twice." That's all it takes to think about that scene. And it's a very powerful scene. Now, I think he messed up on the filming of it a little bit too extravagant, overboard on it. But that's part of the thing too, right? So that's part of the thing. And then also, and this is a weird side note, this movie is what got me into listening to Enya. So before you say anything, there are two Enya songs in this movie that are put in the most perfect place, the most perfect songs at the right time. And every time I hear those songs, I think about this movie. They're really good songs. They're really popular ones. So,
yeah.
I like the couple of the songs that Enya does. I'm sorry. I'm not going to.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You can like your Enya. Just well, I'll just remember that when we go on the low-key well road trip, Reinhold does not get to pick the tunes.
If I pick the tunes, we already know what I'm bringing. It's going to be Harry Chapin and Bare Naked Ladies, because I've already talked about them.
That's fine. That's fine. That's why you're not driving. For me, it's just going to be nothing but Kiss and Initial D soundtrack. That's all you get on shuffle.
Zikri, come on, man. Come on, man. Let me just stop. Would you say the songs are well fitting, or are they in your face? Or are they in your face?
Your face. Oh, wow, Zikri.
Come on, Zikri.
Wow.
What kind of dad joke?
I know. You put that in his dating profile. I already have my dad jokes ready to go.
Jesus. Zikri. Putting Enya on my playlist just so that I can make that joke sometime.
Yeah. Jesus. That's interesting, Randall. That's very much a comedy that fits your taste in comedy in a very
specific way. I'm admittedly very, very unique in my comedy likes. And I don't know what caused that. I don't know if it's just a combination of a lot of different things growing up. But really intellectual comedy does it for me. Where they're taking the piss on things that are very high-minded normally and tearing them apart, showing the absurdity of it, and then throwing it back together again. And this movie does that all the way through.
Okay. Definitely a very interesting movie. Is there any place that is available to watch it at?
I don't know. I should look that up real quick. Because I know the last movie I talked about, you can't get anywhere. So I should probably say something about whether or not you can get that one or not. I own him. I own the last movie. I own this movie. So I can watch it anytime I want to. So,
yeah.
Let me see streaming. I think the problem with this stuff is it goes in and out all the time. So you never know.
Yeah.
I think you can get it on. Yeah. You can get it on Amazon Prime for rental or buy. But
yeah, cool.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I bet
not,
I could.
It's not included in Prime, but
that's fine. You can probably find it in the public library too. So
yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's a Prime Video, Fandu or Fandango, whatever, Vudu, and then a Redbox. Yeah, those are where I'm seeing it at right now.
That's fair.
It's got Steve Martin, Victoria Tennant, Richard E. Grant, isn't it, too? Playing Victoria Tennant's ex-husband. But they're from England, so they stay cordial, and it's a whole thing. Be fun.
That's fair.
So, question. Making a joke about Big Bang Theory be acceptable? Sure, it's acceptable.
Honestly, like,
since just because we have different opinions on the show doesn't mean
no. I think it's it's acceptable, but yeah. I don't know. Is it too old to be called a callback right now, or is it?
No, I think maybe it might be a callback because of our previous discussions.
Yeah, which
I
don't know where on air. Yeah, we talked about it during the six hour live stream. We talked about it in the 6 hour live stream.
And Zikri was there.
Yeah, Zikri was there. That's what I was wondering. Would be a callback.
I'm trying to remember if that was just an after show argument we get into or not.
No, it was during the show for sure. It was definitely during the stream.
No, which I probably should like record our arguments backstage so I can sell it to the Patreon. If we ever get a Patreon or local,
sell it. Well, you can put them on the wall Patreon. Mm-hmm. A little extra for you.
No.
You can say, I want a kickback. You can get a kickback from that.
No. Deer Leader gets banned all the time. You see, he'll get banned from that. I lose my money. The only place that we've never gotten banned from here is the Twitch page because it's under my freaking name. Everything else has been banned. So Spangle, I almost got the big group back from Facebook, right? But Spangle wouldn't he was too slow on giving me full admin rights, dropping out of the group. Facebook was willing to work with me with banning everybody and give us the group back.
Really? I thought they permanently deleted it.
No, it's
they were going to give it back.
They were going to. Spangle was too slow. He waited too long to give me full control of the group because they were like, if you ban Spangle, you ban all these other mods. It did nothing because apparently, my mod account was like, yep, I was blocking things, throwing things people away.
I was gonna get blocked from the group.
Nope, you were fine. You were fine, but Jeremiah had to go. he had to go. Dakota, it was just gonna be you, me, and Dakota. That was it. Everyone else had to go. Yeah. Conversations with Facebook.
Anyway. They have to be banned out of the group completely, or just banned
out of the group completely. They cannot be in that group.
Could they be added back in after you got it back?
No.
They were going to flag it for those people. Wow. That's some third level.
So
it's because of a Dahmer joke, wasn't it? Seriously, that's the stupidest. Literally stupidest thing I may have heard this week.
Old Dahmer. Well, the YouTube page got done for a 9/11 history podcast.
I think I was. Was I on that episode? The 9/11 history podcast. I think it was you and me, and I don't know if we had anybody else on it.
Yeah, that's all we just talked about the history of 9/11. So, hate speech.
Here's the thing. I'm all for moderation. I think moderation is a good thing in social media and these sites and everything else.
Yeah, moderation.
But dear God, have better procedures in place to give people agency to realize they're going too far one way or the other and steer back in. Don't just be dumb about it. And that's what happens is they're dumb about it. Yeah. Like when they banned YouTube put in that video, did they say, oh, here's the line in the video that caused us to ban it? No, they don't tell you that. You have no idea what it is.
Yeah. It's the faceless moderation, because usually if you get moderated in a Reddit post or a BBS, like the mod or whatever flagged you, like, this, I'm flagging you for this. It's a faceless person you can talk. It's a face person you have to talk to. But since it's faceless, it's automated. There's no one to talk to. No one really to appeal to.
I spent my formative years of being on the internet as a moderator and just about everything. So I know how this works. But you can't do it that way. You can't arbitrarily do stuff.
We're tangenting.
Yeah.
I know Harry wants to go to bed at some point tonight.
Yeah, it would be good. Me too.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Well, I guess that leaves me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be talking about Oran High School Host Club. But we're going to go on several tangents to explain the premise, and then we'll get to why I have it on here. So in Japan, there's a concept called a host club. Host clubs are in Japan. There's a large, as we discussed before, parasocial relationships in Japan are massive. So there are places where people can have basically makeshift romantic interactions with people that they pay to do it with without it being any sexual or anything. Most men, for men, it's mostly maid cafes where women dress up like maids and make them food and treat them special. But for women, it is usually host club, which is just very attractive men who dress in very nice suits and outfits and flirt with the women there and give them have meals with them and flirt with them and make them feel special. You know, paying for attention, basically. And that is the premise of Oran High School Host Club. It's a bunch of rich boys entertaining. The line is rich, bored boys entertaining rich, bored girls.
Yeah.
So the main character.
I can immediately see why you like it. Go on.
So the main character is this nerdy kid who is a scholarship student to this school and stumbles upon the host club on accident because they're just looking for a place to study, and through an accidental means knocks over a vase that's worth $800,000, and because they're a scholarship student has no way to pay it back. So they are forced to be to help in the club to pay back their debts. And it turns out that this transfer student who shows up wearing this really big, thick sweater, big round glasses, short hair, is a girl. And is still forced to be a part of the host club and entertain these wealthy females while pretending to be a boy the whole time. And the humor really comes down to all the characters have distinct personalities based on like stereotypes and the humor of them playing the stereotypes and then their actual personality not being what it is. So case in point, Harry's been holding up a stuffed bunny because there are two characters named Honey and Mori who are, Honey is like really short and adorable and could easily pass as, you know, being in middle school, while Mori is this tall, towering, quiet type. And Honey is very quiet, is very sweet and caring and loves sweets and cute things and has a bunny that Harry has there on him. And Mori is the stoic, protective type of Honey, but in actuality, Honey is a martial arts expert and could probably beat up anybody in the school
with ease. World. Okay. World's greatest martial artist.
And like right. the humor very much plays with the two characters interacting with each other. So it's like there's a scene where Honey's making tea. Like traditionally, and it's like grinding up the leaves and just keeps grinding. But since he's a martial artist, he grinds it to like a fine paste that there's nothing left. And the girls that are entertaining are just sitting back, not saying anything because they're too afraid that they're going to hurt his feelings. Until Mori leans over and goes, "You've destroyed it, because you've made it paste." And Honey just stops and it's all really sad. And the girls grab it, like, "Oh no, it's still fine. I'll still drink it. Oh, it's the most delicious thing I've ever had." Because the juxtaposition of the ridiculousness of the situation.
Yeah.
And I will say that looking back now, there you can see both the flaws and the benefits of it for a series that came out in 2006. The main character is very gender neutral in her ideals, where there's literally, she has short hair because she had gum in her, the kid put gum in her hair before she started high school, and she said, it's easier just to cut it than to get it out, so fuck it, I'm cutting my hair. And the parent they live with is a trans woman in 2006, which is definitely massive and something that you don't see even now.
Yeah.
In most media at this point. And there's still some problems. Like, one of the main love interests is Tamaki, is a is definitely a little, could definitely be seen as very problematic now, with basically wanting to force her to dress as feminine as possible. He's like, I like you, but I would like you more if you look like a girl, kind of thing.
just a tad.
But it becomes more entertaining that he ends up being the butt of the joke a lot more times than not. So, in general, it has some good humor. The characters that are good are good. Like, one I didn't mention is Kyoya, who is basically the mastermind behind everything, who has the books and literally made photo albums of all the members with just sneaking images that he took at random. They're just blurred, but girls still paid for it because they wanted the collections of the pictures of the boys. Mm-hmm. So,
and the twins.
Yeah, the twins, of course, who are twin brothers who flirt with each other because taboo and shit.
Twins do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a twin thing, yeah. Yep, I mean, yep. Just look at Cersei and yeah. It's, yeah. It's a thing.
It's twins, a thing. It's a thing. Twins, everybody yeah. knows. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows that. Yeah.
But in general, it has a lot of good humor, and I enjoy the show. So the reason it's on this list has nothing to do with the show. Oran High School Host Club is put on this list because it is a representation of somebody that had a massive impact on my life. The reason I watch Oran High School Host Club is because Harry suggested I watched it when I was like in a freshman in high school. And Oran High School Host Club, I use it to represent what Harry has done for my life as a mentor. Because for me, I really started hanging out with Harry when I was a freshman in high school. And for me, I was at a point of my life where I was kind of really adrift. Mm-hmm. Because my parents just divorced. I moved to a new school. I had just broken up with the first girlfriend I ever had, who was also my, you know, first time. So I was already emotionally fucked up from all that. I just stopped playing sports. And I was kind of adrift. I really didn't have a direction in life, or just a direction at all. And I talked about how my mental state kind of was when we talked about GE Good Ending a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the person that reached out and really tried to point me in directions of things was Harry. And Oran High School Host Club is just a representation of something I wasn't normally going to watch. At the time, I was watching like Cowboy Bebop for the action and like Naruto and all the action-y stuff. And I was like, oh, this is funny comedy that's like, yes, it's targeted towards girls, but it's still funny and interesting. You should watch it. And I just wanted to use it as a representation of all the things that Harry's affected my life with. Because in high school, he gave me a lot of interest and showed me a lot of things I had no idea about. Like, for the first couple of years, I really didn't have a lot of solid friend groups of stuff. So he would constantly pull me out. I was like, hey, I want to work on my car. Come help me work on my car. Since we lived like 5 minutes away, if that.
Mm-hmm.
And he would like take me to do stuff with his friends and stuff like that. And he, you know, was able to help me push me to start writing more, and he gave me a book that helped me understand how to write characters better. And it was just kind of the impact that one person had on somebody else's life in a way that not very many people see, and I don't really talk about often. And I've had a conversation with Harry about this before. And I know that it had as much impact on him as it did on me in one way or another. But I use it kind of as a representation of the impact that Harry's had on my life by a showing of something of a jokey, silly show that I would have never given a chance to if it wasn't for Harry. Even now, I'm back up in where I am because he was like, hey, I have this position. I want you to work in this position. I'm on this podcast because he's like, hey, I need somebody to come do this thing. Here, you want to help me? Hop on and help me do this. A lot of the friends I hang out with, the Scalja and certain people like that, are because of they were friends with Harry first, and I met them through Harry.
Yeah.
So it's...
And he also, and also me, that's the bad part of it, the whole...
No, there's really no bad parts of it, Reinhold. But yeah, it's just one of those... I felt like I needed something to represent the person that, besides like my parents, that probably had the most impact on my life in general. There's that. You good?
Yeah. I'm good. I'm good. Good. Fine. Was ready for that, and it took a turn. Just took a turn.
Yeah, I knew you weren't ready for that.
Oh man. Thanks for fighting to go last.
There's a reason that you saw I jumped on the opportunity that you were so enthusiastic to throw you in there first. Thoughts?
I have thoughts. I want to wait till after we turn off the cameras before I ask.
I don't know. It's I just don't. There's a lot of different times. Just with Dom and every time, it's just like, I don't really did think, or even so, like, I'd have made that big of an impact on your life, but like, you just made and apparently I have, and I mean, you're just a kid, and you look like you needed help, you needed someone to talk to.
Yes. I mean,
we've all been there, and it was just.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason I'm still here on a podcast with you talking about anime and shit.
I like to go on adventures.
Yeah, you might not, it's that feeling that you might not think that it was that important, but I can tell that it was very important for both of us, especially at that time.
Yeah. It was a rough time. It was rough for like me and my situation. I think at that time of myself, I sometimes I even felt like super powerless about being able to change anything or do anything in the world. And you know, you just go up there, and I'm just you know, it's, to me, it was just like, you're some kid that was just there and it was that needed someone to talk to. And you were willing to say, talk and hang out and do things with me. And it's like, you know, it, I, thanks, Donovan.
Fun fact, like, it's even funnier because before this episode started, Harry was talking about how he's having a rough day and he was already at the end of his rope. And I knew I was going to talk about this going into it. I was like, oh, he has no idea what's about to happen.
And when he was talking about, oh, this scene will come out and make you cry, you knew what was coming.
I knew this was happening, and I knew that it was gonna be, he was gonna be blindsided by this because it was, knew I had to talk about it.
Yeah, I just brought Usachan on it. Like,
I'm gonna talk about Auron. This is gonna be so great. I'm gonna laugh and talk about how funny the series is, and then just
okay, all right.
So yeah, that was my pick.
Okay.
What do we do next time, Harry?
Oh, man.
Wait, if you want to make that Big Bang Theory joke, go ahead and make it. It'll help lighten things up.
It was kind of heavy, but it wasn't negative heavy.
Right.
It's emotional.
Not yet, anyway. Yeah. That's the last episode of the series. I'm going to talk about July and April. That's emotional heavy. That's going to be terrible.
Oh, man. I think I might do some Gundam next. I think I'm gonna do Gundam Double 83, which is the fun one. It's the illegal Gundam with the nuclear warhead on it episode, which is neato.
That's fair.
Yeah. Brian Holt. This way I can wrap up all my Gundam talk with Gundam Unicorn at the end.
That's fair.
Yeah. I will be doing Alan Sorkin.
All right. Alan Sorkin it is. Since the Scalja is going to be busy, probably being depressed for the rest of this week after tomorrow, I can't do Future Diary. So that just leaves me with Bloom Into You, which I'm going to talk about how that has nuked my free time. So that'll be my next one.
Yeah. Scalja will either be depressed or hype all week. It won't be able to calm this man down.
True. That's true. All right.
So we'll do that for the next episode. So let me try close. All right. We've got this far in this episode. You're the true fan. You're awesome. So make sure you guys stay tuned for Black Friday for a long episode. And also, you can listen to anything else in the world, but decided to listen to this. And that, I thank you. Thank you very much. So I'm just going to end it here. Please look forward for, like, see you guys next Monday, live, same time, same bat channel. All right, everybody say goodbye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Some wine. You need some?
All right. All right. Podcast.